Vetinari's carriage. Carrot glanced around at it, then he looked at it again and looked up. There was a glint of metal on the roof of the tower. "Sergeant, who's on the tower?" he said.
"Caddy, sir."
"Oh, right," he coughed. "Anyway, Captain, we all clubbed together and..." He paused. "Acting Constable Cuddy, right?"
"Yeah, he's reliable."
The patrician's carriage was halfway towards Sartor Square now. Carrot could see the thin, dark figure in the back seat. He glanced up at the great grey bulk of the tower. He started a run. "What's up?" said Colon. Vimes started a run too. Detritus's knuckles hit the ground as he swung after the others. And then it hit Colon, a sort of frantic tingle, as though someone had blown on his naked brain.
"Oh, shit,"
he said under his breath. Claws scrabbled on the dirt.
"He drew his sword."
"What did you expect? One minute the lad is on top of the world, he's got a whole new interest in his life, something probably even better than going for walks, and then he turns round and what he sees is, well, basically, a wolf. You could have hinted. It's that time of the month, that sort of thing. You can't blame him for being surprised, really."
Gaspode got to his feet.
"Now are you going to come out, or have I got to come in there and be brutally savaged?"
Lord Vetinari stood up as he saw the watch running towards him. That was why the first shot went through his thigh instead of his chest. Then Carrot cleared the door of the carriage and flung himself across the man, which is why the next shot went through Carrot. Angua slunk out. Gaspode relaxed slightly.
"I can't go back," said Angua. "I..."
She froze. Her ears twitched.
"What? What? He's been hurt."
Angua sprang away.
"Here, wait for me," barked Gaspode. "That's the shades that way."
A third shot knocked a chip out of Detritus, who slammed into the carriage, knocking it on its side and severing the traces. The horses scrambled away. The coachman had already made a lightning comparison between current job conditions and his rates of pay, and had vanished into the crowd. Vimes slid to a halt behind the overturned carriage. Another shot spanged off the cobbles near his arm.
"Detritus?"
"Sir?"
"How are you?"
"Oozing a bit, sir."
The shot hit the carriage wheel above Vimes's head, making it spin.
"Carrot?"
"Right through my shoulder, sir."
Vimes eased himself along on his elbows.
"Good morning, your lordship,"
he said manically. He leaned back and pulled out a mangled cigar.
"Got a light?"
The patrician opened his eyes.
"Ah, Captain Vimes. And what happens now?"
Vimes grinned. Funny, he thought, how I never feel really alive until someone tries to kill me. That's when you notice that the sky is blue. Actually, not very blue right now. There's big clouds up there, but I'm noticing them.
"We wait for one more shot," he said, "and then we run for proper cover."
"I appear to be losing a lot of blood," said Lord Vetinari.
"Who would have thought you had it in you?" said Vimes, with the frankness of those probably about to die. "What about you, Carrot?"
"I can move my hand. Hurts like heck, sir, but you look worse."
Vimes looked down. There was blood all over his coat.
"A bit of stone must have caught me," he said. "I didn't even feel it."
He tried to form a mental picture of the gun. Six tubes, all in a line, each one with its lead slug and charge of number one powder, delivered into the gun like crossbow bolts. He wondered how long it'd take to put in another six. "But we've got him where we want him. There's only one way down out of the tower." "Yep. We might be sitting out here in the open with him shooting lead pellets at us, but we've got him just where we want him." Wheezing and farting nervously, Gaspode moved at a shambling run through the shades and saw, with a heart that sank even further, a knot of dogs ahead of him. He pushed and squirmed through the tangle of legs. Angua was at bay in a ring of teeth. The barking stopped. A couple of large dogs moved aside, and Big Fido stepped delicately forward.
"So," he said, "what we have here is not a dog at all. A spy, perhaps. There's always an enemy, everywhere. They look like dogs, but inside they're not dogs. What were you doing?"
Angua growled.
"Oh, law," thought Gaspode. "She could probably take down a few of them, but these are street dogs."
He wriggled under a couple of bodies and emerged in the circle. Big Fido turned his red-eyed gaze on him.
"And Gaspode, too," said the poodle. "I might have known."
"You leave her alone," said Gaspode.
"Oh, you'll fight us all for her, will you?"
said Big Fido.
"I got the power,"
said Gaspode. You know that